tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to Window Seat, recorded live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Broadcast live on Full Service Radio, presented by Amila, the Adams Morgan Youth Leadership Academy. Today has been a hectic.
It has.
Hectic day for me. I can't wait to quit my job. And I still got the jitters from running someplace late.
Yeah, I was running. I was here. I was running late. So I came rushing in. So it's a lot hotter than it was this morning when I left the house. So I got a big coat. I'm wearing clothes that don't. I'm sweaty. It's not.
Hold on. Back up. Let me get into the introduction before we start rambling.
Okay.
As I said, or I didn't say, I'm Chris Price. I have with me, as always, Mr. Francis.
Welcome to Window Seat.
And then we have our guy in the back. I'm not sure if he has a mic with him, Mr. Gray.
I don't know. Does the mic work?
It's low.
The mic is working, though.
Hello. Can you hear me?
What's up, guys? What's up, Jamal?
Hey.
Yeah. All right now. And we're honored today, as always. I want to say we've had some amazing guests. I know Amari doesn't want to go here, but I think we have. And I really enjoyed the last guest, Terrell the Trainer. So I'm going to shout him out. If you haven't listened to anything that we've done before, Terrell is a trainer in the Washington, D.C. area. He's pretty popular in the Washington, D.C. area. And he's spent some time behind bars doing like knucklehead shit like the rest of us. But since he's gotten out, he's gotten a watch of my dreams, and he started his own business, and things seem like they're doing really well. So that was interesting to me, because I have people in my family who've been locked up, and it's just a process watching them recover.
I'm excited about today's guest as well. Excited about today's guest. But one of our past guests I've been excited or was excited about was Dion Reeder. She wanted to help her community, and she decided to run for a public office. It was something that she hadn't ever thought of doing, and she believed it was a need, and she stepped out and she did it. And I mean, she didn't win, but I think taking the chance and doing something that big is a win in itself. So yeah, I'm proud of her. But you are a little shaky today, Chris, because you forgot to introduce Full Service Radio.
Let's keep that in our back pocket.
What are you going to do that later?
We're going to move forward.
We got to act like it didn't happen. All right, my bad. All right,
thank you. But you're introducing
today's guest. Oh, today we have a wonderfully amazing guest.
I knew amazing was coming.
I love that word.
Go ahead.
She is, I'm going to call her a local star. She may be a national star. We're going to figure that out.
I think we can go that far.
She's definitely an Instagram star. Yeah, man. She liked to rap. I'm going to ask her to do a freestyle today. She's a bit of a fashionista. And yeah, man, she's on our local airwaves. Television waves? Is it airwaves?
Yeah, that travels.
Okay. Yeah. She's on our local airwaves every weekend. And you can sometimes hear her on the radio as well. She is an Emmy-winning meteorologist for NBC4, Miss Samara Theodore.
I don't know why I'm doing this.
welcome. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, I mean, we all had an energy today. It's going to disappear in a matter of 2 minutes.
Yeah, once you start talking. How are you? How's your day?
My day is good. Everything's going pretty nice. I was able to eat breakfast, so that's an accomplishment.
You don't usually eat breakfast?
Yeah, most times, but like a real hearty breakfast.
Oh, okay.
So, put some work into it, some effort.
I'm learning that breakfast isn't as important as they used to tell us that it was.
Yeah, I'm fasting, but to be thankful for breakfast is important.
Yeah, thankful for everything is important.
Stay in the spirit of gratitude, yes.
Yes.
So, why meteorology?
Meteorology. So,
what is meteorology first?
Meteorology is the study of the atmosphere.
Okay.
So, I studied atmospheric science in college, I majored in meteorology, kind of interchangeable in a way.
Uh-huh.
But the reason I chose meteorology is when I was younger, I just fell in love with thunderstorms. Like, storms, hurricanes, just everything. And I think what really cemented it was probably, do you guys remember, of course you remember Hurricane Katrina.
Yes.
And I was living in Atlanta, Georgia at the time. And living in Atlanta, Georgia, I was a freshman in high school, or going into my freshman year, when Hurricane Katrina happened, and we had an influx of people moving in from New Orleans, from Mississippi, the areas that had gotten really impacted. And when I saw just the relocation impact that weather could have, like, I meant, oh wow, this really affects everybody. Like, we kind of take it for granted and whatnot. And I said, I want to study that. I want to make it better. Because a lot of the issue, I think, with Hurricane Katrina was that not necessarily always did they have ample warning, but also resources to get out. And I think having a relationship with your local meteorologist is really important, because there's a level of trust they have to build with us as viewers. And that sense of urgency could have been relayed a lot better, you know, the closer the meteorologist is to the community. Not saying that they weren't, but I just think that a lot of people impacted didn't have the resources and may not have had the wherewithal to really understand the impact that this storm was having. Even as meteorologists, we didn't necessarily see what was to come after that. But that cemented me wanting to go into meteorology. So by freshman year, I said, okay, that's what I'm majoring in college.
Do you love it?
I do. I love meteorology. I love weather. There's a lot of things I love. I feel as though I'm not, I feel as though I'm multidimensional, but it's definitely like, it's the core. It's the crux of me.
Sometimes when people choose their major in college, by the time they get to junior or senior year, they don't want to do it no more. And then when they do start working in that field, they hate it and they feel a pull to move into something else.
I think that is because sometimes, well, everyone's different, and sometimes there's a rush from high school into college. Everyone is on a different timeline. You may be feeling that you have to choose something, and they may end up choosing it going in. And the reality is, you could love it at that time, but we're ever changing. You know, we're humans, we're ever evolving. So it's important to know how to adapt to your new passions. But for me, weather, meteorology, I have definitely had my ups and downs with it. But I think overall, I'm a lover of science. Mm-hmm. Like, I love science. So I definitely am still passionate about weather, even after all these years.
Okay.
That's fascinating to me, because I remember wanting to sit outside during thunderstorms, right? I think as a kid, you're just curious.
Yeah.
So maybe there was like an element of fear there, mm-hmm. when you're like discovering things. But I remember wanting to sit outside on the porch and watch a storm happen. But I don't know how that translates into a career.
What you just said made me think of something.
What you think?
When I was like, it was probably older than this, but I'm going to say 12 because I don't want to be too embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lightning storm, and I never experienced a lightning storm. And
where were you?
What? At 12?
I never. Maybe I did, and I didn't know what
where
the fuck
were you
it was.
Living?
In Maryland.
Okay.
And it was a lightning storm, and it was like gold outside, because it was the middle of the night, but it was gold outside. And then I could just hear it. There was no rain. It was just a noise. And it was so bright. I was so scared. That's the last time I remember wanting to go get in my mother's bed. And like, I was so scared.
You know, what's interesting. A lot of times when you, in college, I remember a freshman year when we were in orientation for, freshman year, that was junior year. Anywho, we were talking about what made us go into weather, mm-hmm. and a lot of people had like the same beginnings. Like, it was rooted almost in fear, but I think their fear translated then into curiosity more so.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely, I think, a lot of people will talk about, it was a thunderstorm that kind of drove me to it, or, you know, that fear.
Yeah, well, it drove me away from it.
Another thing I'm thinking, I grew up in Miami, so we get hurricanes coming through all the time.
Okay.
And you know what's funny? My family, I can call them. If they name a storm that's coming through right now, they're not going anywhere.
Really?
Never.
Major storm.
I can offer
evacuation level.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering what's going on culturally, because I literally offered my mother a plane ticket. I was like, "Yo, JetBlue has some sale going on for the sale. Do you want to get out of the storm?" She's like, "I ain't going nowhere. We got storm shutters. We paid $30,000 for this back window so it won't shatter. We're not going anywhere."
Is that something that you...
I think, yeah, it's something we're fighting against. It's an uphill battle, and it's understandable. I mean, there's some times where, especially if you're talking about, like, storms from the past where, or years ago when the science might not have been as fine-tuned. Remember, we're growing as far as the science but exponentially.
Right.
So our forecasts are getting better and better. We're up to 10-day forecasts now.
I know. I listen. I'm sorry. But I find myself always complaining about warm it was. Yes, like. Yes. And I thought about that before I left the house this morning. But I was like, it's cold. I'm going to wear this coat. But too often, right, I'm like, they said it would rain at 3. It's 10. It didn't rain yet. Or even just recently, we had a snow. They said it would start snowing at 1. But I'm going to be honest. Who don't complain about the weatherman? Or the weatherwoman. I'm sure you hear it a lot.
Complaint, and it has become so ingrained that, you know, the other day on my Instagram, I had talked about
Instagram. Can you shout out your Instagram real quick? She Instagram star.
Samara Theater. That's SOMARATHEODORE.
You can see her dancing. You can see her fashion expertise.
No, but seriously,
you can see her traveling. You can see her family. You can see her trendy background that we could get into. You can see her freestyling.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't stalking you. I was just on it.
That's cool. All right. That's what it's there for. So on Instagram, I was talking about how I have this closet door at my house, and it is stuck. It was stuck, and it was jammed, and it needed to be fixed. And so we finally got it fixed. But for 3 weeks after it was fixed, I was still doing the thing where I had to lift and pull. So I was still treating this door as if it was broken, even though the circumstances had changed. And that was a lesson for me. And I think that I'm not saying that we're perfect as meteorologists, but our forecasts have just exponentially improved. And I think that it's almost a learned behavior to kind of be like, oh, the weatherman, you guys get to be wrong and keep a job. But we are evolving and we are getting better and our forecasts are getting more accurate. And the reality is also, we have such a short amount of time, I think, on television to relay a lot of information. And you've got so many people watching. Like, my mom would be like, I thought you said it was going to rain at 3. And I was like, well, I said for areas south of the district, people aren't always, you know, paying fine to. And you have to listen, because we're talking about, you know, there's a different, not climate, but kind of, you have microclimates in different cities. So whereas the south may not get as much snow with this system, or the timing is going to be different. So the details as well matter, but I know it's not always easy for viewers to just be like...
Yeah, I can be honest. I don't listen to those details.
Yeah, when you look at the map, you see rain, no rain.
Right. When you say east of the city, I'm like, I don't know where that is, but it got to be close because she's talking to us.
Right. And so, and that is one thing I do want to say. We are talking to as far south as Fredericksburg, Virginia. So that's past Quantico, down 95. We're talking as far north as Frederick. And we have some viewers that may be able to pick us up in Hagerstown, Maryland.
Wow.
And we're talking back west towards I-81, going towards West Virginia, out towards Annapolis. So,
and all of those places are like an hour away from D.C.
Hour, 2 hours sometimes. So definitely, I understand. But maybe I'll work on that. I'll do more zone forecasting.
Well, just talk to D.C. specifically. That's what I want to know. So let us hear about your trendy background, please.
Okay.
That's important to you, right?
It is. I think it's important because it's it's my culture.
Right. I saw the TED Talk.
Yeah.
Wait, okay. So do you have a Caribbean background at all?
No, not that I know of.
I am
that African American that has no clue.
I don't have a Caribbean background, but I do have family that has a Caribbean background, and Caribbeans have been in my life for as long as I can remember. For, you know, close.
Especially whether it was a neighbor,
best friend, you know, relationship, whatever it was. Yeah.
I think that, I like to look at it as just an extension, we are an extension of you, and maybe we, in the Caribbean, that culture specifically is just, it's a conglomeration of many mixed cultures that have come over from India, China, but you also have the remnants of Africa because we were slaves, right? We were just right. dropped off. We're just a stop earlier. So I like to look at it as a preservation of your culture. So it's just as much yours as it is mine. And I think we're just, you're just maybe two spaces removed instead of one. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a big part of me because culture is kind of what makes you, you know what I mean? And right, oftentimes it's, you know, race, black, white, right. this and the third. But I live in the house of my fiance. He'll say fried chicken, and I look at him like, I could curry it for you, but I have no clue how to fry it.
You can't fry chicken?
I do not know how to fry chicken, and I will miserably fail if you try to make me fried chicken. Oh, I need to learn, though. But the point that I'm making is that, you know, culture matters just as much as ethnicity, race, all those things.
On your TED Talk, you talked about struggling with your American, because you were born in America, right?
Yeah, I was born in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Right, so struggling with being an American with a strong Trinidadian influence, right?
Yeah.
Identifying. I don't know if I'm struggling.
I think identifying, it's just, because you are, I am African American.
Right.
Just as much as you all are African American. But like I was saying, you know, you go home and then a lot of times when we come over, when my family came over, they come to areas they know and people they know. So there's communities, there's whole communities. Mm-hmm. So you could literally grow up as a child and go to church, mm-hmm. go to the stores, go to events and family outings and stuff and just be in a Caribbean setting. And then maybe as you get older, you start to spread out more. And now you're going to public school where there's an assortment of backgrounds. And there is this level of like how the world views you and how you view yourself or how you are, how you actually are. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, even as African Americans, we can all be homogenized, you know, but we're so multi-layered and so multi-dimensional, so many different cultures, subcultures, South, North, West Coast, Caribbean, African. And so I think if there was a struggle, it just comes into, and it's not even a struggle, it's just getting people enlightened onto the different cultures and how they work. I've heard things like, are you a city in Jamaica? Or, is Trinidad, is the Caribbean all connected, like landlocked connected? Mm-hmm. Like I've gotten questions like that. So I realized.
Do those questions annoy you?
No, they don't annoy me. It's just an opportunity for enlightenment and to learn.
That's a hidden yes. An opportunity for enlightenment. I think that's, get out of here.
I don't.
You're thinking, you're an idiot.
No.
Okay.
No. Well, if you're just joining us. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Window Seat. We have Samara Theodore here, recorded at the Line Hotel. I'm sorry, I'm strumming.
It's been a rough day for
Chris. It's been a rough day. That's why I'm like,
I can admit, and hopefully, they'll probably hear it. I can admit that I find myself envious sometimes of people of Caribbean descent because.
The pride.
And sometimes I feel like it's the pride is so strong, and I know it's not, but it feels like they are consider themselves better than Black Americans, for lack of a better phrase. And it's not, I know it's not, right? But especially the Caribbeans that were born in this country. Yeah, I don't know how else to say, but it makes me envious. Yeah,
that makes sense. And I mean, if you not to be envious, but just where those feelings come from. I mean, when we look at basic like insecurities or something, sometimes people have things that you may not have or know, and it can make you feel insecure about yourself. Mm-hmm. And spark feelings of envy when in reality it is an unfortunate ramification and repercussion of the diaspora. Mm-hmm. And it is painful where that is coming from, that is rooted in, I don't really know who I am,
absolutely.
What I am. And that is absolutely horrific. I can take you back to Africa on my mm-hmm. mom's side. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. that does give you, when you know who you are, and not only where you came from, but who you came from,
right.
it makes a bigger difference in who you become.
Right.
You know, when you know you're the child of a king, then you already know, you act and you walk like you're ready to inherit the throne.
Right.
So knowing where you're from is so important. And even as Trinidadians and West Indians, or Caribbeans, should I say, we're slaves too. We're, you know, a lot of us were slaves as well. So I think it's just holding on to it as much as you can, mm-hmm. and not letting go, just so we know who we are. But I think there should definitely be more of a connection between our African American brothers and sisters. Well, I'm African American.
Yeah.
And I have a friend now who's actually planning a trip back to Ghana, mm-hmm. and she's kind of, it's like for the children of the diaspora.
Right.
And so she's trying to like bring us as African Americans back to Africa to kind of enlighten us and show us.
Is she from Ghana?
Her family is from Ghana. She was born in America. But yeah, I think it's all just this internal feeling of really wanting to belong,
right.
to understand, because right. for so long we've been told who we are.
Right.
And that
and
can
told
be
lies.
And minimized to a color.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Where someone who at least can identify, you may not be able to identify directly with Africa, but you can identify with a culture that's not told, you know, someone that looks like you, that, you know, loves you, that can give you a history that's yours, is telling you about who you are.
Right. And that culture is a piece of it. It was right. able to, like, when you hear the West Indian music and or Caribbean
yeah,
music,
and
like, you can tell us from
everything is unique. The food is unique. The accent is unique. The way you dress is unique. Even the attitude, like how you treat people. You know, you see a distinction between, I think, a lot of Americans and people of Caribbean descent, just the way they treat each other. How the family unit, how close the family unit is. I know sometimes we talk about white people on this show. Often we talk about white people on the show. And we, I don't know if it's in the, we talk about, and not, and I guess it's not white people, but how other races seem to support each other more than black people do, which I think is an unfair perception, but it's real in some cases. And I think when you look at Caribbean culture, you see black people supporting each other that aren't necessarily family. But as you talked about being able to come from Trinidad and not necessarily having to be exposed to an American culture, you can eat your own food, you can speak to people, work in the community, live in a community that's still yours.
Yeah.
And you know, the only thing it seems like black people have that's similar to that in America is the hood, which, you know.
Mm. That's deep.
Do you disagree, Chris?
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but I think it's an interesting perception.
Yeah.
Perspective, I'm sorry.
I don't know. I
do have a question, though.
All right, my bad.
So, I think it was a couple of years back, there were about 4, I believe, white cameramen that were working at Revolt TV, you know, Puff Daddy station.
Okay.
And they ended up suing because it basically sounded like when I... Jamal, you know what I'm talking about? I think they ended up suing because they didn't fit into the culture, you know, of this black hip-hop station. So, like, if they work at the Breakfast Club and you have Gucci Mane coming on the show today and Gucci Mane is an hour late, they're used to being on schedule because their culture conducts jobs a certain type of way. So now they're in this hip hop culture and it's not conducted like that. So they're having a lot of friction with people who are okay with an artist being 30 minutes late because they're used to it. Anyway, they raise hell, they end up getting fired. And I'm curious with your background and your culture, because it's so different, is there a place where you feel like you have to tune it out for your environment or be less of yourself? Because I feel like I struggle with that sometimes with where I work and what I do.
You gotta be less black.
I don't know about less black, but I definitely don't feel like I can keep a job
being 100% you.
Yeah, and I don't think that I'm necessarily worse being 100% me, but you have
probably
to be open.
Better.
Yeah, you have to be open to it, right?
Yeah.
And this is my
livelihood.
This is me,
yeah.
Right? No, I don't know how true it is because I don't know sometimes if I'm willing to gamble at that level, right? Mm-hmm. So like I grew up in a household full of cuss words.
Mm-hmm.
So cuss words don't offend me.
Right.
But I also grew up in a household full of love. And I see how they can exist in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
You can cuss at me and still love me, or you can use a bad word and still come from a place of love. Everybody doesn't get that.
Right.
I've never been on TV. I've never been worked in a newsroom. And I'm just curious, is it the same, like, you know, my experience?
Well, you know, for me in a newsroom, to be honest with you, it's so, especially here, the newsroom is so reflective of the actual community. Like, we've got everybody in there. And I think every newsroom creates their culture. And I think there is such thing as corporate culture. And I don't like to put a color to that because so many different people play by the rules of corporate culture.
Right.
And I think to an extent it is necessary because at the end of the day, the corporations, they have to get the money. And so there are ways that you have to maneuver through that. Sometimes it may be more in line with your home culture and sometimes it may not. But there is a corporate culture that you have to abide by, which I don't really have issue with. And to be honest with you, in newsrooms, that's one of the jobs where I've actually felt a lot of inclusiveness, especially here in Washington, D.C. I mean, I've got my coworkers walking by and we've got it's just an array of people in our newsroom, hairstyles, everything. Like, it's, for me, it hasn't been an issue. So I don't know if that really answers the question.
No, it does.
I think that there's corporate culture and then there's your own culture.
You got a Jay-Z story.
What's a Jay-Z story?
Well, I want to know.
You want to tell your Jay-Z story?
99 Damn. Problems, but it's not working. So, he's referencing the time that I experienced my first termination.
Okay.
It was in the year 2016, so not that long ago. 2016? Yeah, 2016, in Cleveland, Ohio. And myself and the morning anchor, who's also my best friend, it was early that morning, Friday morning, I think, and they were giving out free Jay-Z tickets across the street.
All right.
Wow.
Okay. Now
I'm going to get me some Jay-Z tickets.
I'm an Eminem fan, so
okay.
Automatically I was like, whatever. But my fiance's from the Bronx.
Okay.
And he heard Jay-Z was coming to Cleveland. So, you know, there's not a lot to do all the time in Cleveland. So he was very excited. Uh-huh. So he texts me. And remember, we get to work at 2 a.m. So he sends me the text when he wakes up at 6. And he says, will you get the ticket for me? I said, okay, sure. I didn't think there was an issue with it. So I told him I'll go during my breakfast break. So our breakfast, we break for breakfast around 8 a.m.
Uh-huh.
The show is over by that point, just doing cut-ins and I didn't have to do any. So the morning anchor, who also loves Beyonce, and she just, even though Beyonce wasn't on the card
right.
to come, she just knew if Jay-Z's coming, Beyonce's coming. So she's like, we're in there. I was like, okay, let's go then. So we went across the street during our breakfast break and we got in line because it was like, we are, I guess we have listeners, so how far? It literally across the street. It was directly, you can see out the window from
okay.
the newsroom to where the line was. And we're on the line waiting for these tickets. We get the go-ahead from, you know, the producers were cleared to go. And we get the tickets. And while we're in line, they bring it to our attention that this particular concert is going to be, it is a get the vote out campaign for Hillary Clinton. So that's what Jay-Z was backing. So in my mind,
I remember that.
Yeah, I went in Miami.
It didn't matter to me, though, because I was not attending the concert. I was getting, it was one ticket per person.
Right.
And I was going to give the ticket to my fiance. So I get the ticket. I come back. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. I show my coworkers. And I was just like, yeah, we got the ticket. And then I think my friend, she may have, I can't remember if she posted on Twitter or not, but we showed the tickets, and then by lunchtime we were terminated, or not terminated, what's the word? what is the word?
Reprimanded?
Fired?
No, you're, this is really bad. Put on pause. My mind is literally blanking. For suspended. We were suspended pending a political affiliation investigation.
Wow.
And by dinner, we were terminated for an egregious violation in our contract, which was basically showing political bias. As a journalist, you are not supposed to show political bias towards, you know, any particular party because you're reporting on the news.
Right.
You have to be able to deliver the news non-biasly, especially at the local level. So we were terminated for that, and that was it. I was back in home with my mom in 2 weeks.
So yeah. Jay-Z got you fired, basically.
Jay-Z owes me some money. No.
So what? Yeah. How did you? What did your fiance say?
What did he say? Oh, this is what he said. Oh, I meant to text you back. I couldn't get off that day.
Wow. So he wouldn't.
Then he said, "Well, you married me." He worked it out. He worked it out.
Yeah. No, he couldn't go, so he didn't go.
So I think. What if you? Because if you didn't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could have attended a concert or go to a play.
Here's my thing. As someone who's in her older 20s now, I've come to the realization that I'm responsible for even what I don't know. And I'm taking that on from the perspective of, well, was it right? You know, ethics and all that stuff. That is up for debate.
Yeah.
But as far as me maintaining a career and a job, I should have been well aware of the nuances of my career and my fields. And if I wasn't then, I am now. So that's good to know. That does not mean I'm defending any position in particular, but I definitely think that, and even, I don't want to blame it on being a millennial, but I feel like it can be so easy. You know, I think there's this like this world ahead of us and this world behind us and this world that we're in, and we're navigating all of them. And I now go through things with a fine-tooth comb.
I want to know what it is about you that makes you so much more mature than me. Cause
that sounds like growth. That sounds like she was pissed. Man, what the fuck? Yes, that sounds like she was pissed when she got fired. She wanted to sue somebody.
No.
And then as time went on, she got to this place of maturity.
Like, you know where I'm at right now?
What?
That would have happened to me, and I'm like, I don't want to work for y'all anyway.
Fuck y'all. Yeah, I agree.
Because it's kind of corny. It's
fuck this job.
Sorry. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm like weighing in my mind how should I be operating moving forward, because I see that.
No, what she I agree with the mature explanation you just gave for, you know.
I was upset. I was bothered. I was not upset. I was emotionally exhausted and drained. So and the exhaustion didn't come from the termination per se. You know, like my mom said, she's like, people get fired all the time. You know what happens? At least once in your life, throughout your career, you may get fired from something.
And you learn mostly.
But ours was on a public platform. So that's where, you know, we were on pop culture news segments in Los Angeles the next morning. I mean, by that Monday. It happened on a Friday. We were, you know, people were, how could they be so stupid, so dumb? A lot of comments coming in. So it's different to get fired on a public stage and in the age of the internet than it is from when my mom was coming up. So it's definitely a little different. So my anxiety really came from that. And I did worry, like, what about my job? You know, I have a passion for weather. I want to service my community. Like, I'm in a position of servitude. I'm getting to do something that I love, you know, and now it just felt like it was being taken away from me, or I lost it. And so that was difficult to grasp as well. But my mom kind of reminded me of who I am. That's why it's so important that you know where you're from, who you're from. Mm. And I hit the ground. She said, you know, when your granddad came out here, he was part-time taxi cab driver. So I got my Uber, and I Ubered 12, 13-hour days, did what you have to do until my agent calls and said, hey, you know, there's a position open. Mm-hmm. So it was a needed learning experience. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Maybe some money, but not for the world. No, I'm joking. And I'm glad. I don't want to say I'm glad it happened, but
you're glad
I'm
for
glad
the experience.
I grew from it.
Yeah.
Because I could have not grown from it. That would have been worse. That would have been fatal.
I love that. I like, because a lot of times people don't grow from their negative experiences. They blame somebody else, or they find an excuse to justify it. And it seems like you're owning it, even though you have plenty of reason to say it's not my fault. or I was wronged in some way. So, yeah, I like that. So you have a unique, you can relate then, I think, to a lot of stars nowadays when they get in dragged on social media or on TV because it happened to you.
And mine's was like, I like to think of it like as this, like, it was small in comparison to what, you know what I mean? I mean, there were still thousands of people commenting, but
right,
in comparison to what stars are dealing on a nationwide level, it's not easy. And you, it's easy to say, who cares what the public thinks or what people think, or just turn it off. But, you know, it's definitely something that takes a mental toll on you and it can break your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause just think about when you're going through some type of negative moment with someone you care about or a friend, and then just like multiply it by just this magnitude. And I really am into energies and chakras and stuff like that. So like I could just feel the energy pulsating and it was just so heavy. It was so heavy and it was unfortunate. But like I said, I did grow from it, and it was baptism by fire. And I'm ready for a city like DC. You know what I mean? Not saying DC is bad or anything, but you know what I mean? Like
DC's fire.
I'm ready for a even bigger platform to step on. Just a bigger town.
So this is the first job that you had?
After
that. Well, aside from Uber. This is the first meteorologist job that you, meteorology job?
Yeah.
That you had? And what do you think? Is this your first time being here? I think I saw somewhere that you do have family here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, the hubs for West Indians are usually like New York City, Washington, D.C., kind of come in, and then you spread out to Atlanta, L.A. So, yeah, my dad's family is all here. I grew up coming to Maryland. I love it here.
And so you've been here for what, about a year?
Year and a half now, yeah.
Okay. And what's the plans after? What's the next move for Samara Theodore?
I would love to maybe one day in the future live abroad. That would be nice.
Work abroad and live abroad, or just travel and live abroad?
Either one, whichever one. But for now, it's kind of just finding peace. I've come down. I work weekends now here in Washington, D.C., which I love. And during the weekdays, I am more freelance. So I fill in, or I work from home as far as, like, you know, doing some other things that I'm working on. But I think, like, what's next is just growth, finding a place of peace, creating an environment of peace. That's kind of what I'm striving for right now. My home life. That's really it. I'm just on this journey for peace, love, light, compassion, helping other people. Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. So not much. I don't have anything in the works that's major. Not dropping an album.
Every day. That's not true, because you got bars. On your Instagram, I heard them.
Yeah, go check that out. It's so ridiculous.
I was going to ask if there was a young man or a young girl that was getting into your field, going to your field of study, what would you tell them to expect going forward? Say if they're graduating high school now.
So, just quickly, for meteorology, if you're going to study meteorology, take your time with the major and really think about what, almost where your personality fits in the aspect of the major, because a very small, and I mean like very small, almost single digit percentage of meteorologists graduating are actually going onto television. So, you know, you want to make sure your plane is staying in the air, right?
Right.
And functioning well. You got to have a aviation meteorologist on the ground at the tower. You've got meteorologists in the Air Force. You have meteorologists who are doing academia, you have meteorologists who are doing research. If you like money, Wall Street, you know, who are out there doing weather risk, they're weather risk analysts. And you could do forensic meteorology. There's just so many different components to this discipline that I would highly recommend that you take the time to figure out which aspect you want to go down. And also take your time with math, but it is going to be a major component. It wasn't always easy for me either, but if you, like my mom always says to me, it's not impossible, it's difficult. That's it. So just do it.
I like that. You won an Emmy.
I did.
Tell us about that.
So we won the Emmy for our newscast on the Akron plane crash. So we reported on, there was an Akron plane crash in Akron, Ohio.
Okay.
And we reported on that, as well as myself and the other meteorologists at the time. We talked about the weather during that plane crash, and so we were just covering it all morning. So we won that Emmy, and it was my first Emmy. And I think it was just a great feat of accomplishment. It was nice. It's always good to be recognized for your hard work, but it's definitely not something I'm like.
It is a big deal, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you put it on your. Do you? So if I won, they say when you win an Oscar, you're supposed to get paid more. Do you get paid more now? Can you
say? I didn't know that. Hold on, let me call my agent.
Stop it! Stop. Really? Can you put that on your resume and say, listen,
well, yeah, it's definitely something you put on your resume. It's an award, but...
It's a big deal.
No, it is. It is. I'm just focused on the weather.
Okay.
Stay humble.
Do you have...
Yeah, I mean, we do have one more question, but first, once again, please give everybody... your information, how they can reach you, where they can see you.
So I want you all to know I am in a position of service to you. I'm a meteorologist for your community. So I like to make myself accessible for any weather questions. And oftentimes there may be school visits that people would like to be done. If you would, you can definitely reach out. I would just, well, after the firing, don't Google me. No, I would say go ahead and reach me at Samara Theodore, that's S-O-M-A-R-A, Theodore, T-H-E-O-D-O-R-E, on Instagram. If you just DM me, I can give you my email address on there, and we can hook some stuff up if you need a school visit, or if you just have weather questions, sometimes you just want to know.
And you're on TV?
I'm on TV Saturdays and Sundays at 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. on Channel 4, and I will provide you with your forecast.
An accurate forecast.
Please listen closely.
And you're on the radio.
WTOP 103.5. We are there covering everything. Every 10 minutes, we are giving you updates. So while you're in your car driving, definitely turn to 103.5.
Okay. And our last question.
No, I just want to thank you for being here, because I can kind of sit in awe around some people. Because of how they conduct themselves, right? And I don't know if I'm too emotional sometimes. Because
definitely.
Yeah, because it's like, damn, I'm looking like, I kind of wish I could do that. And I don't know what it is. I know when I meet these people, and you're definitely one of them, that conduct themselves in a certain type of way that, like, you're like, there's a real elegance to this.
That's a good word.
Yeah, so I appreciate you for coming.
Yeah.
And well, sharing your story with us.
Yeah. Finally, if you had a word of inspiration or some message that you could give.
So many. So let me try and get it done in 60 seconds. I'd say faith is a muscle, so flex it. I'd also say that make sure you are pivoting everything from a place of compassion. Everything. Every word that's getting ready to come out your mouth next, just do your best to be cognizant. Is this coming from a place of compassion? We could always use a little bit of extra love. So kindness is always something that I think should be practiced as well. And I think that's it. I think that's the best information I can give. Oh, and as my Trinidadian grandmother would say, your friends will take you, but they won't bring you back. So maybe that's a piece of wisdom. I don't know for what, but.
That's a good one. Well, thank everybody for joining us tomorrow. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Gray.
Yes, thank you, Jamal. Yes, you can listen to all of our podcasts, including this one, at windowseat.fullserviceradio.org. You can follow us at Windowseat Podcast. I just put that up. So, you know, I don't got a lot of followers now, but y'all take your asses over to at Windowseat Podcast.
And thank you, Mr. Francis, because he's given this podcast a whole new energy as of lately.
Yeah,
I see you trying to create and go further.
Yeah, man. We're trying to grow. Like, we give our listeners inspiration to grow. We should be growing ourselves. So let's do it. Yeah, until next time, y'all, be inspired.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I
and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
A reading rainbow.
A reading rainbow.
Tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service. Full Service.
Full Service Radio.